We are beginning today on a six-week focus on the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's power. If you've been around St. Giles, then you know that we are a church that has given great attention to this through the years, and we are not already known to be a church that gives this focus. So we're wondering what there is that we could learn more about it. But I believe there is, as the Spirit is moving among us. Always He has a new leaf to turn over. We'll be doing this for 6 weeks in partnership with a couple of sister churches, Community West and Christ Press. Their pastors will be preaching here. Sarah Marshuti and I will be preaching there. And week after week, we're going to come and present ourselves for what the Spirit would do in our midst. Today, we're starting with the account of the giving of the Spirit to the church. Good place to start on Pentecost Sunday. We'll be reading in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. And let's pray together before we read. Lord God, we give thanks for your word, that your Spirit inspired it, that the Spirit brings it to life for us, that this word, speaking of your Spirit, has the Spirit present to work in our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may have seen the news stories a couple of weeks ago that the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus folded their circus tent for the last time. After 146 years of the ringmaster announcing the greatest show on earth, well, it came to a close for lots of reasons, financial and other. How many of you have seen the circus at some point? Oh, my goodness, just about everybody. Yes. It's so much fun. I went as a child, and then because I was so amazed as a child, Sarah and I made sure that we got to take our three girls when they were young, and they were amazed, and true piece of Americana. So these last 2 weeks, there have been a lot of sad stories about people who wanted to see the circus and didn't quite get there, or performers giving their last best performance as the circus closed down. And all of this circus thinking got me to thinking about my favorite story about a circus. It features a traveling circus back in the 30s, which came to Danville. And there was a young guy there, Carl, 13 years old, who had heard about the circus. And when they began posting the pictures, the posters around town to raise everyone's awareness and eagerness, he was thrilled. So he began saving his money from his paper route. The admission charge was $1.50. And that sounds like next to nothing to us, but in the Depression, and when your job is a paper route, well, that was a lot of money. It made him wince a little bit, but then he would look at the poster again, and he would be thrilled, and he was determined that he was going to go to the circus. So when the circus arrived in town, as they did in those days, they had a parade down Main Street, and Carl was there on the front row, and it was even better than the posters had indicated. The ringmaster led the way and cut quite a grand figure as he did, and Carl had never seen elephants in person before, just pictures, and so he was stunned by how huge they were just a few feet away from him, and one of the lions roared as its cage was rolled by him, and it sent a shiver down his spine, and here were the clowns dancing around and doing their craziness, and then the most beautiful ladies he'd ever seen in his life, the trapeze ladies, came by, and he was mesmerized by them. And at the end of the parade, Carl started looking around for someone to give his $1.50 to, and there was no one there to take it. He thought he'd seen the circus when in fact he'd only seen the parade. And he didn't know that the best was yet to come. When I first heard that story, I identified with that immediately. Because in my relationship with the Lord, there have been so many times when I've been taken to the parade and thought that that's all there was. And sure enough, there was a circus to follow that I didn't even know about. And this seems to be a pretty common experience with regard to matters of the Holy Spirit, this heaven-descended dove, the presence of God promised to us by Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit has already been at work in your heart. It's not as if the Spirit is distant to you. If you believe in Jesus, the Spirit is already at work. He's the one who enables us to believe in Jesus in the first place. And then we begin to discover what that means. Not just affirming a set of beliefs, but coming to the place where the Spirit is our closest companion, as close as our breath, joining us with other believers, comforting us in times of anxiety and sorrow, prompting us to serve and to grow, and forming us in the character of Jesus Himself. That's some of what the Spirit does. And some of you have encountered the Spirit in various experiences of infilling or refilling, and you may have experienced some of the gifts of the Spirit as Paul describes them in his letters, where the Lord used you to work a healing or gifted you to pray in tongues or something kind of like described there in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit works in as many ways as there are people in the body of Christ, with a different blend of His presence and power and giftings in each person's life. But in all of us, His presence is amazing. In fact, so amazing that it's easy to settle for a little, because just a little already is amazing. And we see the parade and don't always pick up that that's an invitation to the fuller circus yet to come. Think about those 120 followers of Jesus gathered in that upper room. If you read up the page a bit, you learn that on the 40th day after Jesus rose from the dead, just before He ascended into heaven, He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were gifted with the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send. So they did. And they gathered in this upper room, I guess coming and going, but gathering over a 10-day period. And being together, here's how I imagine it. That they didn't pray solid for 10 days, but they'd tell stories about their life with Jesus and how they first saw Him and how He called them and how they saw Him heal a man that was blind from birth and how He fed 5,000 and how He stilled the storm. And they told these stories and that reinvigorated them, and they lapsed back into prayer and singing and honoring God, and then more stories came. And so it went on through 10 whole days of this. And suddenly it seemed more alive to them because they had met the Lord alive again after His crucifixion. And all of it was amazing. And they also remembered that Jesus had told them, if you think the parade was good, wait till you see the circus. Now that's my language. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I must leave, but the Father is sending the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things. He said, in that Spirit, those who believe in Me will do the works that I do, and even greater works. He said, when that Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And now these 120 in that upper room sensed that they were on the edge of this, that the Lord had been telling them what was coming, and it was just imminently upon them. And so for 10 days, they waited and told stories and had fellowship together, ready to move from the parade to the circus. And then on Pentecost Day, the circus opened. And though Jesus had told them though they had seen the Spirit at work in his own life, though they had all these kind of parade sort of previews, the actual circus itself was beyond anything that they had seen. Suddenly the Holy Spirit filled the room. The same Spirit who had filled Jesus was now filling the room in them and around them and empowering them with the power that the Spirit endowed Jesus. And they had visions in the midst of this, visions of the Spirit's presence. They saw the presence of the Spirit as flames of fire dancing about the room. And the vision came with a soundtrack. It sounded like a storm wind blowing through. Maybe they felt it too, I don't know, but they saw it, they heard the Spirit. There was the Spirit blowing through the midst of the room. It had to be overwhelming. These things they had read about happening in the life of the prophets in the Old Testament, and that they had seen so powerfully in the life of Jesus, now it was them. They're in the upper room together, having waited upon the Lord in prayer. He did what he said. And he wasn't just in the room, he filled them. He filled them with his presence, so he was as close to them as their breath. He filled them to the point that their mother tongues were no longer fully adequate to praise God, and so he gave them an entirely new language so that their praise could spill over yet more. And if you read on down the page, you'll find that these 120 burst out of the upper room and went out into the streets, and Peter began to preach to people, lots of people, because it was one of the three great feasts of the Jewish people, and they would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem, so there were a lot of out-of-towners there. And Luke makes the point of telling us who all was in town: Parthians and Medes and Egyptians and Libyans and Cretans and Romans and Arabs and more. And get this, the 120 who were speaking of Jesus and praising Jesus, either in how they said it or how the people there heard it, somehow, miraculously, they all heard in their own languages at once. Kind of like the United Nations, except without the earpieces. Everybody heard and understood. They got to hear praise and testimony in the language of their hearts. Now that had to be a head turner. The Medes think that Peter is preaching to them in their language, and they look over at the Persians, and the Persians are clearly understanding, and they look over at the Romans, and they are hearing it in Latin, and my goodness, what was the Lord doing? Well, Peter told them. He told them that this was the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy from Joel, and it was being fulfilled right before their eyes, that in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. After all of those centuries when the Spirit moved uniquely in the life of one prophet and then another, and sometimes with lots of years in between, all of a sudden, here's the Spirit moving through a bunch of people at once, men and women, young and old, slaves and free. Now, we've read that till our eyes are very familiar to it, but I guarantee you that was a head spinner for everybody else. Men and women? Young and old, slaves and free? Are you kidding me? But that's what the Lord was doing. They were overflowing in the presence and power of Jesus, present in the person of the Holy Spirit. It was a stunning moment. So back to Carl and the circus parade. When he failed to find anyone to give his admission money to the circus, he spent about half of it on Cokes and cotton candy. And so when he found out later that he'd only been to the parade and not the circus, he no longer had enough to go to the circus. And he told his dad, and his dad took pity on him and said he'd pay. In fact, he insisted on taking Carl himself. And stunning as the parade was, Carl was blown away by the circus. These pretty gals he'd seen marching, now they're up there twirling around on trapeze in the air. And the lion tamer put his head in the lion's mouth, and the elephants were not only huge, they danced. Carl was just blown away by this. And as they walked home, he could not stop talking about all that he'd seen in the circus and how dumb he was to think that the parade was the circus. And as amazing as this experience was for Carl, it's nothing compared with yours. And why is that? Well, it's because Carl watched from the stands. But in this circus, this Holy Spirit circus, the ringmaster has this habit of standing in the center ring and looking up into the audience and calling people down to join in the circus themselves. Watching in the circus is fine, but doing the circus, well, that's what it's about. And so the ringmaster calls, I need some clowns, and I need some horseback riders, and some stilt walkers, and some trapeze swingers, and that's what happened on Pentecost. It's how the Pentecost circus works. The ringmaster's plan is that everyone is a performer. No one's in the stands except those that don't believe in Jesus. And they get to see the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the people of God. And that's what Peter was describing. Taking the words of Joel, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. The Lord has poured out His Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Back in the day, there were lots of little circuses traveling about the countryside, like the La Familia Circus and the Royal Wild West Circus and the Tex Carson Wild Animal Circus. Maybe some of you saw one of those little ones along the way, but somewhere in those decades, Barnum and Bailey and then Ringling Brothers began buying up all these little circuses. And the size of the circus became its main selling point, and eventually Ringling Brothers joined with Barnum and Bailey so that they could put on the greatest show on earth, the biggest, the most glamorous, the most talented performers, and so on. That's not how it works in the Lord's circus. Greatness is not a function of size or drama or fame. It's a matter of Jesus' people being filled with the Holy Spirit, just like they were filled on Pentecost, so that whether they're in worship on a Sunday or gathered in a home for a life group and praying together or they're on a mission trip or they're visiting a sick friend or wherever those followers of Jesus may be, there, the Holy Spirit is at work through them, not just in their own talents, but in the power of the Spirit. And so, we have events like this, where Jane Harler comes to women's Bible study on a Tuesday morning. Looks to be just an ordinary Tuesday morning, but her heart's out of rhythm. And she receives prayer from the ladies. They lay hands on her and she's healed. Just like that, right during the Bible study. Or during our monthly ministry of prayer time, our prayer ministers are taking steps of faith and listening for what the Lord would prompt them to speak forth about how He intends to work in the service that day. And so several exercise that faith and they'll stand forth and speak what they sense God is doing. And doggone, most of the time that's exactly what He does. Beyond their own capacities. Not superstars, ordinary Christian people filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not the greatest show on earth, but the Holy Spirit stirs here. And now the ringmaster is calling us in new ways into that center ring. And it's why we can't get too much of the Holy Spirit's refreshment and power on this Pentecost day. We're in over our heads. It's as if you were called down out of the stands to get up on the trapeze. Really? You can do that? Or to tame the lion? Can you do that? Well, actually, that would be easier than healing the sick or speaking God's insight into someone's heart. You've been called into a center ring that is truly beyond you, but it's not beyond the Spirit who empowers you and has called you to the place where the Spirit of Jesus at work in your life is meeting a world that needs nothing more than to be healed by Jesus and met with His truth and grace. And He intends to do that through you in the center ring. So if you're up for that, if you'd want to just hang out at the parade, if you want to come to the circus, if you don't want to just hang out in the stands, if you want to come down with the ringmaster into that center ring, this is a good day to do that. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing and pray some more and welcome the Spirit to stir in our midst. So let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks that you give the Holy Spirit to plain people who follow Jesus. We give thanks that you fill us with nothing less than the Spirit who empowered and enlivened Jesus himself, that was his promise, and that you're faithful to your promise, and that you're not done with each of us or all of us together in this congregation. And so in faith, we step forward. And we trust you, Holy Spirit, to come in fresh ways to empower us to do what is beyond us to do. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, the giver of the Spirit. Amen.